How are you this morning? Good? 50-50? Again, if this is your first time visiting with us, you are welcome. We used to say that seat is yours, but you know we're running out of seats, so you're going to have to share with others. Amen? You're welcome. If you have a Bible, please turn it to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, this morning we will continue our study in what we have titled The Walk of the Believer, or the lifestyle, you could say, of the believer. For the last 2 weeks we have been studying in the book of Ephesians how a person who believes in Jesus Christ should live their lives in a very practical way. If I believe in Jesus, then my life, my walk, my lifestyle should look like this. And we've been kind of looking at those things. We looked at that the believer should walk in unity, right, with other believers, like links in a chain, all joined together, doing God's will, walking in unity. Last week we discussed walking in holiness, that our lifestyle should be much different from the lifestyle of the people in the world who are doing sinful things. And this morning we're going to conclude the walk of the believer by talking about three things. First of all, walking in love. Walking in love. Secondly, walking in the light. And then finally this morning, we will look at the walking in wisdom. And we'll talk about each of those things as we see them in the Holy Scripture this morning. Read with me, please, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." We'll stop there. This first section in verses 1 through 7, we look at the walk of the believer as walking in love. You know, Jesus said that they, speaking of unbelievers, people in the world, they will know that you are my followers, my disciples, because you have what? Love for one another. That's right. And indeed, Jesus said this, "The greatest commandment is that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself." And so if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to, as it says in verse 1, be imitators of God, you know what an imitator is? It's a person who does the exact same things. When you're a small children, sometimes you want to annoy your brother or sister, and you say the same words and you do the same things. It can annoy them. And we're talking about being imitators of God. And God is, the Bible says, love. And Jesus gave us an example of how to love. And so love is something that should be part of our lives as Christians. Amen? We're to love God. That's obvious. But we're also called to love one another. Did you know that? Someone once said, "I love God, it's his followers I don't like. It's the people I don't like." And you know, you can't just love God and dislike everybody else. The Bible says you love God and you love one another. And that's the walking in love, how our lives should be lived, lives of love toward one another, if we are imitators of Jesus, of God. Amen? That's our lives. Our lives are full of love. And it says, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So, we're called to walk in love, but notice, our greatest example is Jesus himself, right? Did you know when Jesus was here on the earth, he loved people? Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus, right now, he's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. And do you know what he does? He loves people. In fact, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that what the Bible says? And that kind of love is the love that we should have, the love of Jesus. And that kind of love, listen, is called sacrificial love. Did you get that? Sacrificial love. You know, there are a lot of songs today and films that deal with this subject of love. Did you know that? You know, when you are a single guy and you meet that special someone and then you fall in love with them. Right? Or you're, you know, you want to marry someone, you love them so much. I hear about that lately at my place. That's an inside thing. So that's secret. And if you want to know more, you just have to talk to Pastor Carlson after the service. But, you know, they have these songs. I'm not saying any more about that. That's private. They have these songs about love, right? And many times people have a misunderstanding that love is a feeling, right? Love is a feeling. I feel so much love for you. And you can fall in love, meaning you just have this feeling of love. Well, part of love is definitely having a feeling. But the love that the Bible talks about, the love that we are to walk in, that we are learning about today in God's Word, is not a love of feeling so much as it is a love of choice. Did you know that? Because let me tell you something. You can love someone so much and fall in love, and every time you talk, you speak of your great love for this person. But, you know, the way that humans are, our nature is that feeling of love sometimes can go. And many years down the road, you don't experience the same feeling of love that you had maybe in the beginning when you were, if you're married or something like that. And that's why love comes down to this. It is a choice. Did you know that? It is a choice. And many times we don't feel love for somebody, but the Bible is telling us even if we don't feel love for someone, we should still make the choice to act in love. Amen? Amen. Love is an action. It is not a feeling, and it is a choice that we make. Even if you look at someone sitting next to you and you think, I really don't think I could love that person. The Bible says you just love them anyways with your actions, making sacrifices for them. And listen, when you do that, many times the feeling will follow. Did you know that? When you make a choice to love and just to sacrifice for a person, a brother and sister of Christ, or for your husband or your wife, we'll learn about that next week in the end of chapter 5, Ephesians. Many times the feeling will follow the choice that you make to love. Did you know that? There's a story. This is a true story. A woman was having a very bad marriage with her husband. In fact, she hated her, she felt hate for her husband. And the woman went to a certain counselor and said, and I don't think he was a believer, I don't think he was a Christian. And the woman said, I really hate my husband, I just want to divorce him. But before I divorce him, I want to make him feel bad. To feel so bad because I hate him so much. Well, the counselor thought that he was very clever. And he said, well, if you want to really make him feel bad, what you should do is for the next 2 months, you should pretend that you love him in every way. You should do nice things for him. Speak nice, kind words to him. act in love toward him so that he thinks you really love him, is what the counselor said. And then, after he thinks you just love him so much, you're doing these nice things of love, then you tell him you want to get a divorce, and that will really hurt him. That will really make him feel bad. Well, the woman said, aha. That is so clever, I'm going to really hurt him now because I hate him. So the woman set about this next 2 months to do the nicest things for her husband, to show the kindest words to him, to do these acts of love toward her husband for those next 2 months. Well, at the end of the 2 months, the counselor had not heard any word back from this woman. So he gave her a call on the telephone. He said, okay, it's been 2 months. Now we're really going to hurt him. You're going to get that divorce now. And you know what the woman said? She said, I don't want to divorce him. I love him so much. I love being with him. You see, she had the feeling. And the feeling followed the acts of love that she made a choice to do. Amen? This morning, we are not called to necessarily feel love for each other, or for our husbands or wives for that matter. We are called this morning to do acts of sacrificial love for each other. Amen? Even if you don't feel like it. And that's what Jesus did. Do you think Jesus felt like going to the cross? Felt like dying for our sins? Do you think it was something that, you know, he just liked to do in his spare time? No. In fact, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there is any possible way for this cup of suffering to pass away from me, please let it happen, praying to the Father. And that was an indication that Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to show love toward us, even though it didn't feel necessarily nice to him. Right? That's the way we're called to love. John chapter 15, and verse 12 says, this is my commandment, Jesus is speaking, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. What is the greatest act of love? It is to lay down our lives. Not so much physically, like I'll die for you, but each day in little ways we are laying down our own lives to please those whom we are trying to love. Okay? Jesus said it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The Bible is clear. Jesus laid down his life for us. We should love one another and lay down our lives for one another. Amen? Even if you don't like the person who you're laying down your life for. All right? The feelings will follow. Remember. It goes on to talk in verses 3 through verse 7, talking about walking in love. And it's kind of talking about these sinful acts, these sinful behavior that should not be part of someone who is a believer in Jesus and walking in love. It talks about verse 3, fornication. That's sexual immorality. You know, many times when the world, I'm talking about those who are not believers in Jesus, when they talk about love, many times included with that word love is sexual experience with somebody. That's love, right? And someone will say, if you really love me, you'll do this thing with me. That's false. In fact, the Bible says love is to sacrifice like Jesus did, and it is definitely not doing these things like sexual immorality. Uncleanness, it says. That's also talking about sex acts. Covetousness, that's talking about greediness. And it says in verse 3, do not let it even be named among you as is fitting for saints. In verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so, these verses are really talking about the things that should not be a part of our lives if we are Christians, believers in Jesus. If you belong to Jesus this morning, listen, these things should not be a part of your life and of your speech and of your practice. Amen? And unfortunately, in the church, it's not much different these days from the rest of the world. Did you know that? And it makes me so sad, and it makes the Lord so sad that within the body of Christ, those who believe in Jesus, many times we are doing the same things as the people in the world are doing. Reading the same magazines as the people in the world, those that are full of sexual immorality and these filthy things that the Bible talks about here. And the Bible says a person who is walking with Jesus, walking in love, will not be a part of those things. It says here, it is not fitting for saints. And you may be thinking, well, those are saints. I'm just a regular person. That's talking. No. Did you know that this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're a saint? You may not have known that, but whatever your name is, you can kind of fill in the blank. Saint Brian. Saint whoever, whatever your name is here this morning. You're a saint. Congratulations. We're going to get a picture of you and put it on the wall, and you're going to have a halo on top and a long stick with a cross. Now, those who are believers in Jesus, Jesus has made them saints because He is holy, and He has made them that way too. Not because we're something special ourselves, but it says it's not fitting for us, for saints. It's like a piece of clothing. If you go to try on a piece of clothing and you find that maybe the piece of clothing is too small for you, it doesn't fit, right? Maybe you are very happy and fat here this morning. And then you put on some clothes that are too small for someone who is very thin and unhappy. And then it doesn't fit you. It's not. And you look at a person like that and you think, that doesn't fit. That's not fitting, right? It's kind of the same idea. Immoral behavior, sexual immorality, speaking words of, it says here, coarse jesting. That means it's like a joke, but not a good joke like Pastor Brian tells. It's no, that's bad. That was a bad joke. But it wasn't a coarse joke, like it talks about here. That's a joke. It's like you take your words and you bring them through the mud and then you give them to somebody. Morally talking, joking about sexual matters, joking about things that shouldn't be even mentioned, it says here in these scriptures, among saints. And so our lives should be not filled with these things. It's not fitting for us. When someone says, I'm a believer in Jesus, it doesn't seem right when you see that same person reading the Red Pepper magazine. Praise God. I'm a believer in Jesus, yet I'm doing these things that Jesus hates, the things that the Bible speaks clearly against. And let us be imitators of God, people who don't have these things in our lives. And if you have these things in your life, congratulations, today is the day to remove them and walk with Jesus. Amen. As simple as He's just said, He doesn't hate you. He doesn't think you're, He doesn't want to judge you this morning. He wants you to come to Him and He'll clean you up. He's good like that. Jesus is good. Amen. All the time. And all the time He's good. I like that. And so He goes on to talking about that verse 5, for you know, this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so Paul is saying, the Bible is saying very clearly here, that a person whose lifestyle, their daily practice is to do these things that we mentioned, sexual immorality and all of these things we talked about, a person who lives like that does not have a seat in God's kingdom. Amen? They don't have a place there because our lives should be characterized, should be practiced of things of holiness. The Bible says, that doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't mean that if you've fallen this week and have maybe read the Red Pepper magazine or had thoughts of sexual immorality, it doesn't mean that you have no place in God's kingdom or else we would never be there. Amen? I wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be there. What it is talking about is a person whose life is, if you were to say, this person, what is their life like? What is their daily practice? And if you would say these things, that person has no place in God's kingdom. Because even though we fall sometimes, we may make mistakes, we sin. The Bible says if we say we don't have sin, we're a liar. We sin. But our life in general, for the most part, is not characterized by these things. It is rather characterized by walking in love and walking in holiness and these things. Do you understand that? And so that's what he's talking about here. In verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things," what things? The things that we just talked about, sexual immorality and uncleanness and all of that. "Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And what he's saying here is this. Listen very carefully. He's saying that within the church, there are people who say that it is okay to practice these things. Who say that it is fine to be a homosexual, for example. It is fine to have sex with your girlfriend as long as you love her. Maybe you've heard some of these things. And there are people, maybe your friends, maybe your family, who will tell you, maybe a pastor, God forbid, they are there in the church world today, will tell you it is fine to do these things just as long as, you feel good about it inside or something. Right? You've all heard it before. In fact, in the United States, there is a certain pastor who is a homosexual man. And it is accepted within his church there. And the Bible says, don't be deceived with empty words. Words that say it's fine, it's okay, it's acceptable. We hear these words, tolerance. Have you ever heard that word before? Meaning, don't judge me, I'm just doing whatever I want. You know, tolerance. Don't be deceived, because God's judgment is coming. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon these type of people who practice these things. Don't deceive yourself this morning. Don't let anybody deceive you today, whether they're your close friend or your pastor or anybody else. Don't be deceived into thinking that living in sin is okay. It's not. It's not in any way. And though we may fall, God will pick us up, but a lifestyle of sin is never acceptable. Verse 7, do not be partakers with them. And it's talking about, it's not talking about spending time with people who are unbelievers, who do these sinful things. It's talking about fellowshipping with unbelievers. We'll look at it a little bit later. And so if someone has a practice of going and getting drunk with beer or wine or whatever, if someone has a practice of doing these immoral things, don't be partakers with them. Don't be their good friends. Amen? A funny story about myself. Before I was saved, it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago now. Before I was saved, I used to do these bad things. I spoke a little bit about it last week. But I tried to deceive my parents and the other authorities in my life into thinking that I did not do these bad things, right? Maybe some of you are trying to deceive the others here today into thinking you're not doing these bad things. Well, I tried to do that, but every time I got an opportunity, I would go and spend time with my friends who were obviously doing these bad things. They didn't care about what people thought. For they had been in jail. They had done these bad, they were rejected from school. Not because of school fees, but because of immoral behavior. And one time I had a certain man tell me, he was kind of an authority in my life, and he said to me, "Brian, I think you're doing these bad things." And I said, no, I'm good. I go to church. You know, I went to church. I go to church and these things. And he looked at me and he pointed over to my friend over there who was obviously intoxicated and full of drugs and these things. And he pointed to my friend over there. He said, "That's your friend, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes." And he said something to me, and I'll explain this. He said, "Do you know, Brian, birds of a feather flock together." Do you know what that means? Birds of a feather. You know, when birds fly together, you don't see a lot of, there's these birds called geese. I don't know if you have them here. How about marabou storks? You have them here. You don't see a lot of marabou storks flying together, and then in the middle you see a chicken. Can chickens fly? That's why you don't see the chicken in the middle. You don't see a dove flying in the middle of a group of marabou storks, of these storks here that we have here. And he said, birds of a feather flock together, meaning the people you spend time with, those are the people you are just like. You do the same things as them. When you spend time with someone, a lot of the time, you are obviously doing and loving and liking and speaking the same things as they do. That's what he meant. And I couldn't deceive him any longer, so I just had to walk away. But I never forgot that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The Bible says this, evil company, that means your friends, the people who you spend most time with, if they are doing bad things, if they are evil, then it is going to affect your life too. You can't get around it. You may say, well, I'm just trying to be to preach the gospel to them. And if I want them to believe the gospel, I have to have a few beers together with them. And not only that, but I have to just really show them that I'm like them, so I have to get really drunk with them, you know, and all of these things. And I hear people say that. I want to preach the gospel, so I'm doing the same things as them. No. We obviously preach the gospel to those people we care about, even if they're not believers. We spend time with them. But they are not the group of people that we are constantly engaged in activity with. Our closest friends are the people who we are most like. Did you know that? And those, it's a warning. Who are your friends? Who are those people you spend most time with? Because they will affect your behavior. The Bible says it. Walking in love. Secondly, this morning, walking in the light. Walking in the light from verses 8 to 14. Let's read those verses together. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Here in this passage, we're talking about walking in the light. And I'm not talking about staying in your house until it's light outside and then you walk when it's light. No. When the Bible speaks of light and darkness, many times it's speaking of a moral condition. Okay, do you get that? Light represents everything that is good and that is clean and perfect and godly. That's light. All right? Darkness represents everything that is bad and demonic and sinful. And so when it says walk in the light, it's merely saying what we've been saying for the last two chapters. Walk in a lifestyle that is just like Jesus. Be imitators of him. Walk as children of light. We were once darkness, the Bible says. It doesn't say we lived in darkness. It says we ourselves were darkness. Didn't it say that? That means when our very definition of who we were was darkness. It says, walk, now we are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, it says in verse 10. Do you know what is acceptable to the Lord and what is not acceptable to the Lord? Do you know that here today? Sometimes we don't know. Me, myself, I have a lot of things to learn. Did you know that? But you say, but Pastor Brian, Pastor Kelly, you are such an old and mature guy. You must know close to everything there is to know. That's not true. There's a lot for us to learn, and one thing we should be learning is what is acceptable to the Lord and what is not acceptable. You may say, how do I do that? A good place to start is right here. Amen? that's a good place to start to find out what is acceptable and not acceptable to the Lord. Another place is the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. The Bible says will guide us into all truth. He will guide us, if we will let Him, to find out what is acceptable to Him. And have no fellowship, verse 11, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so here is that issue of who you're spending time with and the things that you're doing. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And then it talks about whatever makes manifest or whatever exposes or makes visible is light, right? Here's a good thing you can do to help you understand what this passage is saying. All right, you ready for this? Tonight, after it gets dark outside, what you can do is you can take a torch. Where I come from, we call it a flashlight, but here it's called a torch. It's the thing that has batteries or cells inside, and you push the button and the light comes out. What you do, here's a good thing. You turn off all of the lights, maybe go outside or something, and you take your torch and you turn on the button and make the light come out. And then this is what will happen. You'll be able to see nothing but darkness, especially if there's no moon. Nothing but darkness, and then when you turn on the light, you can see what's there, right? For example, you can go into the kitchen, and if it's very dark and no one has been in there, you can turn on the light and you can see these little bugs crawling around, right? And they go and hide. Cockroaches. We have them there where I'm from too, many of them. And you go in there and you turn on the light and you see all these things and they run away and hide, right? Because the light makes visible the things that are happening. It's not darkness anymore, and that's what it's talking about morally here. Our lives should be light. Amen? You can say to yourself, I'm a torch. All right? I'm a torch for Jesus. And we turn on the button, and light should be coming out of our lives so that wherever we go, darkness is going away. Amen? And the works of darkness are being seen. Here's an example. For those of you who have maybe just recently been saved, you go to your friends who are still living a lifestyle of sin, and you go into there, they're doing whatever bad things they do, and you say to them, praise the Lord. And immediately, do you know what they think about the things they're doing, the activities they're doing? They think, I feel bad now. Right? I feel bad. I feel bad about this thing. I want this saved person to get away. Because whenever he or she is here, I feel bad about those things I'm doing. I'm a pastor, you know that. That's why I'm standing up here and talking. But ever since I became a pastor, there's been questionable activities that happen within the church. And I find it interesting that someone, if they're going to have the pastor over to their house, usually what they do is they hide all of the things that they think the pastor will not like to see. Maybe there's a certain magazine or something on the table. They say, the husband says to the wife, put that back somewhere where the pastor can't see. Maybe certain films or these music or whatever. And put those things away so pastor can't see when he comes over. And people think pastors, for some reason, are more spiritual. No, we're just like the rest of the people. But for us believers who are walking in the light, it becomes kind of embarrassing for those who are doing bad things when we are around. That's because just like the torch, we are letting light come in, and they can see the things they are doing are wrong. That's our goal. That's our purpose. And there are people in the church who say this, don't talk bad about any kind of thing that someone is doing. Because that shows that you are just, the word is intolerant, right? And so someone may be doing something bad and the people say, you don't tell them that's bad. The Bible says this, do not be partakers of works of darkness, but rather expose them. Amen. And that's why I have no problem talking about the Red Pepper magazine here today from the pulpit. Because I know that is a work of darkness and my job is not to pretend like it doesn't exist. My job is to say that is wrong. and believers should not partake of it. And do you know what? When you start doing that, now I'm not talking about just being someone who goes around shaking their finger all the time. Excuse me, what are you doing? Oh, that's bad. You know, you're going to hell. I'm not talking about that kind of attitude. What I am talking about is not being afraid to stand up for what is right, even when people don't like it. And let me tell you something. Most people in this world today, they don't like people who stand up for what is right. And believers today, church, we are called to be followers of Jesus and to stand up for what is right, to expose the works of darkness, to do what is right in this world. Amen? Walking in the light. You know, if you want to have this light, you hear about this light, and you may say this morning, you know, Pastor, I feel like I'm a torch, but all of the cells have gone, they're finished, they're bad. You know, if you leave a light on, it won't stay on forever. Where can I get recharged? Where can I find this light to be able to shine brightly? And the Bible says here, wake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. Christ, Jesus, will give us the light we need to shine in this world. Amen? Let your light so shine before men, he said. An example is like this. You see the sun, right? You can go outside today and look at the sun. No, don't look at the sun. But you can see kind of it's up there because this is science. If you look at the sun, your eyes may go bad because it's so bright. You can see the sun and you at nighttime you see the moon. Now, we are like the moon and Jesus is like the sun. Okay, here's my illustration that you can understand. We are like the moon and Jesus is like the sun. You see, the sun is the place where light is produced, right? This may be a new fact for you who haven't taken science, but the moon does not produce light itself. Did you know that? The moon does not produce light. The moon merely reflects the light that comes from the sun, right? It reflects the light that comes from the sun, and that's why the moon is bright. It shines its light. We are like the moon because we don't have light from ourselves. Jesus is shining his light into our lives, and then we are reflecting his light to the world. Amen? But you notice something about the moon. The moon is not always what we call a full moon, right? It's not always a full moon. Meaning sometimes you can look at the moon and there is very little light coming off of the moon. Does that mean the sun has stopped shining? No. Do you know why there's not always a full moon? When there's not a full moon, the reason why is because the world has come between the sun and the moon. Amen? The world has come between the sun and the moon. That is why the light from the sun does not hit the moon. Listen here, believers, today. If you want to shine, shine brightly, don't let the things of the world come between you and Jesus. You're going to shine. Let your light shine, and Christ will give you light, it says in verse 14. And finally this morning, walking in wisdom. We're walking in love toward one another, not doing these sinful things. We're walking in the light, shining and exposing works of darkness. And finally this morning, we're walking in wisdom, verse 15. Let's read together in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, that is carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here we have this morning, finally, walking in wisdom. You know, there is a story told. It's not a true story. It's not even probably theologically correct, but it's interesting to me. There's a story told of a certain man who was the head of a large school, a large Bible teaching school, somewhere, I don't know where. But anyway, this man had done such a good job that one day an angel came to visit him. Not a true story. An angel came to visit him and said to him, God is so happy with you that he's going to give you one of three things. You can either have money, wisdom, or beauty, looking good. Okay, one of three things the angel said the Lord will give you. Money, wisdom, or beauty. We're talking about wisdom here. And so immediately, without thinking, the man said, I'll choose wisdom. Right? I'll choose wisdom. And so the angel disappeared and wisdom came. And everybody in the room was staring at the man who had just received this great gift of wisdom. And finally someone said, well, why don't you say something to us? And the man said, I should have chose the money. See, I told you, it wasn't a true story. No. Okay. Wisdom, though. That was a bad joke. Because, you see, he was made wise, and then he realized that, never mind. Walking in wisdom, though. Wisdom is a great thing, actually, better than money, contrary to that story. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you get anything in this world, the Bible says to get wisdom, and together with wisdom also get understanding. Understanding is knowledge, and wisdom is really the application of knowledge, how to act in any given situation and make good decisions. And so walking in wisdom is what we're called to do. And first of all, it says here, redeeming the time. That means making the most out of every opportunity that you have. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Did you know we don't have an unlimited amount of time here on this earth? Did you know that? In fact, every minute that goes by, we will never see that minute again. Every day that goes by, we will never have an opportunity to relive that day again for the rest of eternity. Did you know that? And time is very precious, and so what the Bible says here is every opportunity, every chance you get, use it for doing the Lord's work, right? Wherever you are, if you're out on the street and someone says to you, you know, I'm not feeling good, I'm just feeling a bit sick, then you can say, well, brother, sister, let's pray right now. What? Right here? Right here in the street? Amen. Yes. Wherever you are, and taking the most of every opportunity that you have. And time is important. And here we have a redeeming the time, because the days are evil and the days are coming to an end. And we only have a short amount of time to gather all the people that need to be saved and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's redeem the time. That's walking in wisdom. Secondly, understanding the will of the Lord. Do not be unwise, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And it's not speaking so much about his specific and perfect will for your future, like who should I marry or what kind of shoes should I buy tomorrow or whatever. It's talking about just really his general will. And we can find that in God's word. His will is for you to be sanctified, the Bible says. His will is for you to give thanks, the Bible says. And so knowing God's will and walking with God, that's walking in wisdom. And thirdly, walking in wisdom is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you see that there? Do not be drunk with wine, verse 18, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is so important today. Listen, this is so important for us today. And I talked about it before. The only way that we are going to be able to walk with God is if we are daily filled with the Holy Spirit. We need Him. We need His power. We need His life lived in our lives so that we can function and do the things that God is calling us to do. This may be bad news, sad news for you today, but you don't have the strength to walk with God by yourself. We don't have it. We need the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if you desire to have the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, just ask God. Amen? You don't have to fast for 5 years. You don't have to give a love offering. You don't have to run to the Pope or whatever. You don't have to do these things. You just have to ask. If your earthly father will give you a piece of, you know, if you ask your father on earth, can I have a piece of bread? He's not going to give you a stone. Amen? Maybe you say, well, you don't know my Father. Well, our Heavenly Father is not like that. And how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Do you want to experience the life and power of the Holy Spirit in your life today? Here's what you do. Say, God, will you please fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? And He'll do it. It's a promise. And our lives should be lives walked, living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I talked about the cup. Remember? The cup that you could, you know, God will fill as much as of the cup as you have it empty. And we need to empty ourselves and the Spirit will fill our lives. And finally, walking in wisdom is walking in fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. And it says here that we are to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And so it's talking about one another, right? And my prayer, my deep desire lately for this fellowship, those of you who say that Calvary Chapel Kampala is your home church, you are members of this church. You don't have to fill out a form or do anything. If you are members of this church, my desire is for us, especially here at Calvary Chapel Kampala, to fellowship with one another. Amen? That we would know each other's names. Amen? You know, I'm very bad when it comes to names. I call certain people, for example, last week I said Chad Smith, and really his name is Chad Gamble. And I felt so embarrassed. And I'm so bad with names. If a girl's name is, Sarah, I call her Rita, or whatever. But let's get to know each other's names. When we're greeting one another, just say more than, hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? How's the chicken? Fine. How's home? Fine. Talk to each other. How is your life? What's going on? And are you really fine? Do you feel bad? Can I pray for you? Tell me about yourself. What are you doing here? Things like that. In nice ways. Let's look around the room. Let's be a family here today. Amen? Let's have fellowship together. Singing to one another. Now, this doesn't mean singing to one another like Pastor Carlson will come in and I'll say, hello, Pastor Carlson, how are you? Singing. And maybe I have my guitar. But what it's talking about is that fellowship should be full of the Lord, of singing about the Lord, of talking about the Lord, of our heart inside is full of the Lord. In fellowship with one another, it's fine to talk about football. There's no problem there. That's okay. It's fine to talk about something that you enjoy in this world. That's no problem. But you should also be talking about the Lord and His goodness. You know, how was the football match? Oh, it was great. Da, da, da. And you talk and then say, well, how's your life with the Lord? Oh, it's also not great. The Lord told me to pray yesterday and I went and watched the football match. No, I'm just kidding. That's condemnation. But fellowshipping with each other, speaking to one another, having a relationship with one another. Do you know the people here today? Do you know our friends, our brothers and sisters in the Lord here today? I encourage you, take an opportunity after the service and talk to someone you don't know. You may say, Pastor, I don't know them. How do you get to know someone unless you talk with them? That's the question. Amen? And I'm going to try to remember everybody's name. But it's talking about being walking in wisdom, fellowshipping with one another. In verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that's really what it's talking about, is being humble with one another. When you talk to someone, don't stand above them and kind of say, hello, I'm Pastor Brian. Who are you, my lowly friend? One day you can be as great as I am. No, we're not talking to each other like we're better or trying to prove something, right? Submitting to one another, that means I prefer you before myself. I respect you. I do things that make you feel nice, not myself, and things like that. Submitting to one another. In that way, we can walk in wisdom. In that way, this church is going to be a strong fellowship of believers. Amen? A strong fellowship of believers. So after the service, we're going to close here in a few minutes. Talk to somebody you don't know and ask them how they're doing and all that, okay? As the Spirit leads. And sing to somebody if the Spirit leads. Amen. Let's stand together. This morning we are encouraged by the Word of God to walk with the Lord, be imitators of God, to walk in love with each other, and to walk in the light, to do those things that expose the darkness, and also to walk in wisdom, finding the will of the Lord and loving one another and being humble before each other. This morning I would encourage you not only to talk to someone you don't know, but to really take a few moments during this last song of worship and to get before the Lord and to say, Lord, there are things in my life that I need you to remove. There are things in my life, Jesus, that I don't want to be there anymore. And I'm tired of struggling with them. I'm tired of falling to sin. Jesus, I want you to remove those things in my life. Take a few moments during this last song and ask the Lord to do that. And Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that your love, it knows no bounds. Thank you that your love, it just reaches down into our lives. And thank you, Lord, that you are willing to do a great and mighty work in our lives and in this church, Lord. We pray, Jesus, that you would continue to pour out your Spirit, to fill us with the Holy Spirit afresh, to overflow us, Jesus, as you said, that torrents, rivers of living water would flow out of our hearts. And Father, we pray that this morning. We pray for each of us that we would join together in unity and fellowship and that we would serve you and walk with you and live for you every step of the way, Lord. We would walk hand in hand with you, Jesus. Lord, we can't do this by ourselves. We need the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would pour out the Spirit upon us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.